I'd like to point out that that song was actually about all of you. All of you who are members of the body of Christ are soldiers of the cross. All of you. And as soldiers of the cross, we do need to stand and fight. We need to fight for that which is true and righteous. We need to fight for the faith, as Jude put it, that was once for all delivered to the saints. You're soldiers. And we need indeed to act like soldiers. And one of the things that's important about a soldier that I think we would all agree on at minimum is that soldiers obey orders. And we all need to be soldiers in the body of Christ who obey orders. I want you to think about something with me in this lesson today. It should be understood that every lesson, every Bible study, every Sunday school class, every Wednesday night service, whatever it is, every one of those things is in fact needed to be taken very seriously. We should never come to the worship service with a lackadaisical idea or a feeling as though, it isn't that important. And even before the service, and we'll talk about this shortly, but even before the service, we need to be soldiers. We need to be prepared. We need to ready ourselves long before we ever walk through those doors. We actually need to start preparing not only for Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And on Saturday evening, we need to have a mind to be prepared. To say that tomorrow I'm going to have the grand opportunity and the honor to worship God. To assemble with the saints. And we're going to be there and we're going to do this according to Spirit and truth. And it needs to be understood that whenever we assemble as God's people, for that purpose we need to treat that as though it is a holy thing because it is a holy thing. And one failing of many of the denominations out there that we really don't want to get caught up in is that they really do have this approach to worship as though it were a form of entertainment. As it was something that it makes me feel good. That's why I come. Of course, I'm not saying you shouldn't feel good. But they're looking at it from the aspect that if it doesn't make me feel good, I'm not going. They're driven by personal gratification rather than having Christ and God as the object of their worship. The object of their worship is themselves. It's the subject of the matter that pleases them, how they feel. And we want to remember that what bottom line, worship isn't about me. It's not about you. We're participants in the worship together. We fellowship in Christ together. We have joy and rejoicing together. We sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs together. And we should be feeling good about that. But it's not about us, right? It's really all about Him. When it boils down to the bottom line, it's all about Him. And we should approach every service with that in mind. Psalm 29:2. If you're looking at your what says the Lord, it says, give unto the Lord the glory that He is due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And in Psalm 95, verses 6 through 7, what does He say? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, or He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hands. Psalm 95 and 9. David says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. What we're talking about is that mindset that we should have when we're thinking about worship. We should have that mindset that that this is a big thing. This is a great honor. It's a privilege. It's a blessing to be able to come to God and worship Him as He has prescribed. And again, look at your Bibles in the book of Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, it's something that we should be familiar with. We've used it before in a message. But you look here in Psalm 100, it's a very short psalm. And the psalmist here writes a psalm of thanksgiving. What's he thankful for? Make a joyful shout to the Lord with all you lambs. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. You know, this psalm, and I don't want to spend any time here now to take away from the lesson, but that psalm was written about a people who were on their way to worship. They were preparing themselves to sing and shout, to rejoice, to worship their Creator. Before they ever got there, they were on the road. And I want you to think a little bit more. What are some of the words here that we don't want? We don't want that laid back attitude. We don't want that lackadaisical attitude. We don't want to be half-hearted. No. Not at all. We want to have minds and hearts fully focused on God. We want to think about glory. We want to think about trembling. We want to think about bowing down and kneeling down before our Lord, our God, our Creator. And we want to think of the beauty of His holiness. Psalm 100. We want to think about that. We want to be able to focus on those kinds of things so that we can make a joyful shout to the Lord. So that we can serve the Lord with gladness. No reservations, no worries. We can come before His presence with singing and know that the Lord, He is our God. And that He's present with us. That's one of the great things about our worship, is that it's not just you and me, but the Lord Himself is present here today. We need to have this in our minds and our hearts. And listen, we can't do it half-hearted. We can't do it without focusing fully on Him. We can't do it by and literally forget, why are we here? I believe that there are some who aren't really 100% convinced. Why am I here? You know, and we want to do it in an acceptable way, not in a rush. It should be well-pleasing to Him. It should be according to Spirit and truth. Not a rush. It's not like when you're late for work. You know, you look at, oh, man, I gotta go. Bye, Sharon. And you're rushing, driving, you know, you're driving crazy on the street, trying to get to work, thinking of all the things you're going to tell your boss why you're late. It's not like being late for a movie or late for a ball game. You know, we want to be here early. We want a purpose in our hearts, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Because that's the point of today's lesson. And when I think of this, you know, I think of all of you as beloved brothers and sisters. But I also remember the command, the charge that Paul gave Timothy, that young preacher. He said, preach the word in season, out of season, right? Convince, rebuke, exhort and rebuke with all teaching and long suffering. Preach the word, and that's what we always want to do. And so as we unfold this lesson, we want to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. Compare the things that are taught with the ways in which we live, the ways in which we approach worship, and apply the things that are necessary and make changes. Has anybody here ever heard of non-judicial punishment? I bet you have, because there's another name for it. It's known by a term, Article 15. Any heads going like this? Article 15. The military uses this term. And basically, the purpose of this non-judicial punishment, NJP, is to discipline people in the military who are out of order, such as reporting late for duty. Remember, we're all soldiers of the cross. Every one of you, I believe, today sang that song in unison. We're soldiers of the cross. And as soldiers, we have things that are appointed for us to do, and one of them is to be here, quote, early and not late. That's one of the punishments. And of course, here's some of the things that the military does is they can punish you by diminishing your rations, making you eat less food. They can restrict you to certain specific limits. They can arrest you in your quarters. They can have correctional custody, extra duty, forfeiture of pay, detention of pay, and reduction in grade. That's what that is. We sang that song. Soldiers of Christ, arise. That's our duty. And you think about that. It's just like the military. You know, there's a punishment met in the military for being late. Well, this isn't the physical military, but there are consequences when being late is habitual. When being late isn't because I had a flat tire. It's not because my boss kept me over late tonight. It's not because I something happened or I was sick or hindered in some way. Because there's no problem with that. But we're talking about people who are continually late without a cause. In Ephesians chapter 6:14, Paul talks about the soldiers of the cross. And one piece of that armor is that you're to gird your weight with truth. You're to gird your weight with truth. And we remember, of course, in our previous lessons in the book of John, we're talking about Jesus. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 8? And verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is we should be here early. We don't want to be the kind of people that run around like a rabbit in a watch yelling, I'm late for a very important date. You know, Merriam-Webster defines this word late, being punctual rather, on time. They define it really simple, being on time. We want to be punctual. We're Christians. We want to be prompt. Not late is another part of that definition. And that's what we want. Think about the parable that we read this morning of the wise and the foolish virgins there in chapter 25. We'll just, you know, go down through here and look at a couple of things. And I hope through this we'll understand, you know, the point. Being tardy is not a good thing. And again, and I'm not going to apologize. I'm just stating a fact that if it's a habit, then it's wrong. It's sin. If it's because of some reason outside of your control, then it's there's no sin involved. And I hope you can see that. Poor planning goes into tardiness or being late. Planning things down to the very minute. You know, this is, I got 30 seconds left before I got to leave for worship. That's going to make you late. But if we're motivated by the love of God, we're motivated by the ways of God and by God's people and the assembly and the love that we have for one another, to desire to maintain a good reputation for God, for Christ, through prayer and through wisdom and obedience to God, then that'll be the first step in correcting a problem. And we do have a pattern in Scripture. We think about the foolish. What was the choice? It was be wise or foolish, verse 16. Verses 1 and 2, rather. Right? They had a choice. We know there was two groups. One did, one didn't make the right choice. There was one foolish group. As we look at that in verse 3, it says they took no oil. They were unprepared. In verse 8, it says that they were out looking for help now. Give us some. In other words, they despised what other people were doing. Other people had gotten their oil. They were prepared. But they wanted to take away from them. They wanted to take away some of their oil. They're going to take away some of their joy. They're despising their good work. But what did they answer? They said, no. Nope. And eventually, they get tired of hearing the response. The wise people answered, said, no, least there should not be enough for us. He said, go and gather to those who sell and buy yourselves. And as I'm trying to bring all this together, the idea is that they're wrapping themselves around what is right, versus those who were wrapping themselves around at the last minute, I got to deal with this. I didn't prepare myself. I wasn't thinking about this. You know, very seldom does a wedding happen like that. Usually there's plans. Usually there's a cake order and a photographer and a building to have the wedding and the reception in. Usually there's food caterers. And usually there's invitations sent out and people get those invitations. So we're not talking about something that you didn't know. These people would have known. And some of them took what they knew and they did what was right. And some of them just waited and waited and waited. And when the time came, it was too late. What did Jesus say in verse 11? You know, they're out running around trying to find oil. And it tells us afterward the other versions came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He's in there, the door's shut. But he answered and he said, Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Think about it. They were too late. When we think about the wise people, you know, they took the oil, they were ready, they made themselves ready. The virgins arose, they trimmed their lamps just in time. No, they trimmed their lamps early. They were waiting, they were ready, they were inside, they were waiting. And we need to be that kind of a person. And we have patterns for this in the Scriptures all over the place. Just a few examples here about being early. You know, you remember Sennacherib? You know, he's just going to kill everybody in Israel. But you know what happened? There were prayers offered up. And I find this really interesting. When you think of this account, this all happened because of prayers. I think we studied that recently. But look, in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, you read this. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose, when? Early. In the morning, there were corpses, all dead. Now, I'm not necessarily focusing on the people here. Because if you back that up logically, if they rose up early in the morning, then the angel of the Lord had to be there even earlier. Setting a good example. The angel of the Lord came earlier, and the people just came early. Another example as you look at this in Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early, David said, I will seek you. Early. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me, I will seek you early. There's no reason to do otherwise. I want to be here early. I want to fellowship with the saints. I want to prepare my mind and my heart for worship. I don't want to run in the door and sit down while everybody else is saying a prayer, while everybody else is getting the Lord's Supper or hearing a message or announcements or whatever. I want to be here before it all starts. What's the pattern? Early. And what about Jesus? Was Jesus late all the time? You know, in John chapter 8, verse 2, it says, now early in the morning, he came again to the temple. What was he doing? He was going to the place of worship, the place of learning, and he did it early in the morning. He didn't run in at the end of the day or in the middle of the day and say, oh, you know, you got room for me? Or what did they say before I got here? What were they talking about? What section of the Torah were they reading? Or of the law? No, he was there early in the morning. And my guess is he got there before anybody else. That's just supposition, though. But the point is he was there early. When did Jesus pray? What does the Scripture tell us? It says he had, having risen, and look what it says, quote, a long while before daylight. And that's translated as very early. That very same Greek phrase is translated very early. In fact, Mark 16:2 uses a similar phrase, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. You know, what time did Mary and Salome and the other Mary come to the tomb? Early? No, very early. And if you really put two and two together, Jesus wasn't there. Again, God does things really early. When the Bible tells us that he rose from the grave early, he rose before early. Is before the very early. We have a pattern. You know, another example is Noah. You think about Noah, consider Noah. What did God say to Noah? Didn't God tell Noah, build an ark? Make yourself an ark? Do you honestly think that when God told Noah, make yourself an ark, that Noah said, well, you know, I still got time. I'll start tomorrow. I'll start later. I'll start next week. Is that what you think? The Bible tells us no. It tells us that Noah did all according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. There's no inference at all that he just hung out for a while and figured I'll do it later. My personal understanding is that he would have just said, yes, Lord, and got to work. Well, I think he started right away. I think that's the truth. We live in a country today where schedules, punctuality, it's diminished. It's kind of being lost. But what are the Lord's people? What are the body of Christ, the church? You know, if we're running late, it says something about our character. It also says something to the world out there that's watching. The world that wants us to make mistakes. The world that wants us to trip up. The world that wants to have any reason whatsoever to point the finger. And as we look at this and we reflect on this, think of these two verses. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, God is not the author of confusion. And for those of you that have been here more than a week, serve worship, and I mean 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, a year, you know what happens when we're supposed to start worship at 9:50 and some of the men aren't here. You know the confusion. You know how we're running around. You know how we end up being late ourselves as a body. That we don't start the service on time because we're wondering, is so-and-so here? They're not here. Who are we going to get to serve? To say the prayer? To read the script? And when that happens, it's just confusion. That's not God's way. And the other thing is, he says, let all things be done decently in an order. And it is not decent by your actions to force the church to run around like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to make last minute changes to a schedule that's put out before the month starts. That's a fact. And all of these apply. They apply to work. I mean, it's still an issue, but in the world today, a lot of employers are kind of lackadaisical about it because they know they can't get people to work anyway. And so they just kind of let it go. But the bottom line is, if you're late for work, they're just eventually going to let you go. Try going to school and showing up late. And you know what's sad? How many of you would plan a trip to Disneyland, the Bahamas, Hawaii, and you know your plane leaves at 9:15 in the morning? How many of you would get there at 9 o'clock? How many of you would get there at 9:10? We're talking about worship. I feel really sad for the groom who shows up late for the wedding. And so there's reason to think this through. And there's something important here. We know that God looks at the heart. He looks at the inward parts of man. But we also know the opposite is true about man. They look at the outward parts. And as man's looking at the outward parts, what that's really telling us is the world out there is looking for reasons. They're looking for reasons to point the finger. They're looking for a place to hang their hat. Jesus said, now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers, the Pharisees, to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And just like they watched Jesus looking for a way to trip him up, then you know they did that over and over and over again. They're watching you. They're looking at you saying, you know, look at them. I visited that church and three or four people walked in during the Lord's Supper. Three or four people walked in while there was a prayer and they didn't even stop. Three or four people. One person. They're looking. And they're watching. What do non-believers think about that? What do visitors think about that? And what does our action say to them? You know, it doesn't express our love. Literally, it forces others to wait. It's like, I'm important, you're not. And if you're saying that to the individual brethren, what are you saying to God? Being on time is late. It's rude. You know, we can read that. Love does not behave rudely. Our actions as Christians, they point back. They point back, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. And so, when I think about the worship service, I want to get here. I want my reputation to say I'm a good man in the sight of the Lord. Because that name that I have is more precious than gold, is more precious than ointment. But we need to be a people who say, we let our yes be yes and our no be no. James makes that very clear. So let me ask you a question. What does that mean to you? What does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me, that long time ago, men in this congregation, whether they were elders or not, made the decision on what time we're going to meet. And everybody knows we meet for Bible study at 9 a.m. So what time should we be here? Before 9 a.m. It starts at 9 a.m. You don't walk in the door at 9 a.m. It starts at 9. The worship starts at 9:50. The Bible study or the worship in the evening starts at 6 o'clock and on Wednesday, 7:30. That's when it starts. And so we need to have that kind of mind, a lowliness of mind, that we esteem others greater than ourselves. If we do that, then I'm concerned how you feel when I come in the door late. When I do that, I'm concerned about it being a disruption to the worship. Jesus plainly says, you know, offenses are going to come, but woe unto him through whom they do come. Don't be that person. And about, you know, it's a mistreatment of people, lack of punctuality. It's a lack of respect. It's a lack of respect for the brethren. It's a lack of respect for Jesus. It's a violation of the golden rule, right? Do unto others. It's paraphrased, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you had a dinner prepared at home and you invited company, and everybody showed up except one group, and you waited and waited and waited, would you be happy about that? Or is that the way you would want them to treat you? And it violates the greatest commandment. And you know what that is? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And I'll tell you, you cannot say, I love the Lord with all that and be lackadaisical, reserved, laid back, really uninterested in being here early, which is better. Which is better. What are the consequences? You know, you get in a rush. That's not a way to prepare yourself to be spiritually ready for worship. You know, you're running late to get to worship, so you drive fast and you get a ticket. Or you have an accident. It's unsafe. You're spiritually unprepared because of those things. You miss opportunities to, quote, love one another. To talk to your brethren. To serve. And to fill in for somebody that didn't show up on time. It's the truth. It's the truth. Selfishness, division. You know, we don't want to be people that cause division. We want to not be insensitive, but sensitive. We want to do things decently, not indecent. Orderly. We don't want to cause confusion because it robs. It robs. It steals from others. Steals their peace. I think it's a really, really important issue. And if we take it seriously, we might be able to help others too, because that's what we do. I have a family member that is always late. You tell that person we're going to have dinner at 7, they'll be there at 7:45. Guarantee it. You tell them that we're going to go to a movie and the movie starts at 6:30 and they'll be there at 6:15 or 6:45. Whatever it is, you tell them and that's what will happen. So we started telling that person if the dinner's at 7, we told them the dinner starts at 6:30. Don't be late. They get there at 7. The movie starts at 6:15. Don't be late. They get there at 6. The movie actually starts at 6:15. We tell them to get there at 6 o'clock. and they're on time. We shouldn't be that way. We should do these things because we're compelled to do what is right. So what do we got to do? Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart, God says. David said, your people, that I may discern between good. We need to discern between good and evil. We need to ask our Father in heaven, ask Him for wisdom. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and He'll give it to you without charging. No charge. Paul in Galatians chapter 5, use your liberality as an opportunity. Don't do that for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Be of one mind, Peter admonishes, having compassion for one another. All those things that we do as a church, loving one another, means that I'm concerned how you feel if I'm habitually late. It's how you feel if I'm being disruptive during the service. Any of the other things that could happen. If I'm talking during a prayer, or if I'm looking at my tablet or whatever it is. You can imagine many, many, many things. But above all, have fervent love for one another. That'll cover a multitude of sins. We need to do that. What's the solution? You know, we think of those wise virgins. They were prepared. They were ready. They were early. They were in their place. And they were received into the wedding. That's our goal. Today, that's our goal. The point of this isn't to drag people down, but to lift people up in faith, to encourage us to examine ourselves in whatever the issues may be, that we can be better servants of God, that we can glorify God more perfectly, and we can edify one another as the body of Christ. And so we want to work and pray to that end. When the hour comes, we won't know. But was Jesus there on time? When the Son of Man should be glorified? Sure He was. When somebody had to die as a sacrifice for us, was Jesus on time? Sure He was. When the dispensation of the fullness of time came, was Jesus Christ there on time? Sure He was. Everything was planned and everything happened as God willed it. So what's the conclusion? Arrive early. How do you do that? Purpose in your heart to do it. Don't wait till the last minute. Get in the habit of planning ahead, expecting to be here early. If it starts at 9, be here quarter tell minimum. If it starts at 9:50, be here at 20 tell minimum. 6 o'clock, quarter to 6 minimum. 7:30, 7:15 minimum. It's simple. It's not hard. Find joy in going to the house of the Lord is what we want to do. David said, he said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Have that attitude. Be excited about coming. Create in me a clean heart, he says, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Psalm 51:10. You know, the time's going to come, and you can look at this. There's a time coming when it'll be too late to hear the gospel. You don't want to be late for that. The time's coming when it'll be too late to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. You don't want to be late for that. The time will come when it'll be too late to repent of your sins. You don't want to be late for that. The time will come when it'll be too late to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the time is going to come when it'll be too late to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the time will come when it'll be just too late to be faithful. So whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, there's a time coming. There's a time coming. And there's a time coming soon We read about this in the book of Corinthians from the Apostle Paul. There's a time coming when the end will come. When Jesus will come down and He'll gather up the church and take that church on up into heaven, and everything else will be destroyed. The day of judgment. The time's coming. You understand time. It's really important to use your time wisely, right? The days are evil. And we need to use that time to the advantage of God and our own souls. Whatever you need today, I'm inviting you at this time, if you have a need, to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.